Welcome to the post-game show. Wouldn't it be cool if we just did this entire post-game in the NPR soft voice? Where we report on what's happening in the world.
Did you know what another great NPR convention is?
I'm Audie Cornish.
First of all, just have two strange...
Fucking love it.
Yeah, so I'm...
Except for Jack Spear, though. I'm Jack Spear.
Yeah.
Like, Jack Spear speaks with authority.
I'm Kai Rizdahl.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, and we're in Marketplace.
Yes!
Yeah,
yes.
So...
I love
Kai
NPR.
Rizdahl. Yeah.
I do.
Here's an NPR thing that happens, is the NPR... Oh.
Yes! Yes!
So say something, anything.
Cam Newton said something stupid again.
Oh.
And I never knew about her or her show until recently, but there's a show called Radio Times. The host is Artie Moscowane, and she's fucking amazing.
I don't know what her first and last names are. Like, is it Artie Moss or Artie Moscowane?
No, I looked it up. Artie is one word. Moss is one word. Cowane is...
Love it.
Yeah.
Nice. Just name. Like, it's like Dickens had his way of naming people, which was like Slender Thiggenbottom. Which is like, all names were like Flippy Dippin' Cooks.
No, yeah. I like her now NPR just for her name.
Has a similar, like, just like, I'm Ari Folger.
I have a Cuban friend who's a reporter on there, Armando Dominguez. Not as great of a name.
A little basic.
We went to Israel together, but he's a gay.
Oh, I was going to ask you if he's hot.
Gay guy. Yeah, he is. He's hot.
Yeah.
But he's hot, gay, and very, very vocal. And ironically conservative, which...
Not ironic.
Does he do this?
He's a Cuban. Of course he's conservative.
Yeah, right.
I know all about that.
I love that shit.
Does he do the other NPR thing, which is like the...
Play the banjo?
The stutter that also goes through every note upward. It's like a trill in the cycle. It's like... what do you think? Like,
oh, that's so good.
Like, what is... You worded... Qualify what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? it's just all, that's how they come. Like, that's them orgasming.
Yeah.
Just like the,
yeah.
And there's just, they have like a towel in their pants.
I just love their shows.
That's two NPR people having sex. It's like,
It's soft sex though. It's like romantic sex.
I've never thought of it that way before. Good question.
It never gets that intense. Never gets that intense.
I love being here today. This is so fun for me. You know, if I would have said any of these things, then I get hate. Like, oh, you're a comedian.
Girl.
Just be funny. But
no.
It's funny to me. But when I just love that you're being funny. And look, I'm being authentic. My bra's showing, so I'm gonna fix it.
She's so real.
Yeah, that's the thing now, right? That's the thing now.
She's so...
But then when you're too real, then you're like, she's too...
Oh, yeah. And by the way, like, I get the death threats every day.
No,
all day.
I get them in person too.
And it's just...
Really? In person?
I mean, not like straight up death threats, but like the last, year and a half, like there have been in-person scary situations, which is why, look, people get like... Progressives get down on me when I say that I'm not against the ability to buy a gun to protect yourself. Now, I'm not talking about assault weapons. I'm not talking about semi-automatics or automatics. I'm talking about like a small pistol that, you know, you keep in your home. I mean, look, people would fucking dox me nonstop and talk about sending people over to rape me. And especially where I used to live, there was no security. And I remember being fucking terrified. And so, look, I get it. Like, it offers you a certain level of comfort that, you know, maybe some people don't understand. And if you don't understand it, I don't judge you for it. It's totally fine. But for people who are reasonable individuals, who want reasonable gun control, who also want to exercise their Second Amendment in a reasonable way, like, just try to understand their perspective, because I don't come from a place of, you know, wanting to hurt people. I hate guns. I've gone to gun ranges, and every time I fire a gun, I fucking hate it. I don't enjoy it. I remember, you know, the second time I went to a gun range was with my husband's family. They're in Florida, they're huge gun advocates. So every time these stories, these mass shootings happen, I have to hide them from any social media because I can't. And anyway, but I remember going to a gun range with them, and this is the first time that I met them, and I wanted to make a good impression. So I remember like really trying to pep myself up before going to the range and telling myself like, you know, just try to enjoy it, you know, try to like whatever. And so at first it was like two different types of pistols that I shot, fucking hated it. Never feel like I'm in control of that gun, right? This is in the beginning. And then I was like, I hate this, but it's almost over. And then they bring out these insane fucking, I don't even know what they're called. I'm gonna keep it real, right? Like this thing, this massive thing.
Nuclear weapons?
It looked like a nuclear weapon, but like you put it on a fucking tripod on the ground, you lay down on the ground. And I'm like, no, I don't wanna come anywhere near that. In fact, like I literally left and sat in the car. And I'm like, at this point, I don't care if they hate me. I do not wanna be around those. Not those people, those weapons. That was it. Like I just.
What? That sounds like a sitcom scene.
That sounds like a reason somebody would call the hotline, the Donald Trump hotline, and say they're using guns.
Just so you know, they came here in 58, but I don't think they're documented.
But I feel the same way about guns. And I grew up in Miami, and my stepfather's Cuban, and I grew up in a house with guns, and I know how to shoot a gun. And I don't have that cowboy syndrome. For me, it's not like if there's a conflict breaks out, I'm like, you know what? I'll be right back. Yeah. But I do understand that you and a Derringer, that's not a bad idea. Was you just shoot for the legs and the bullets travel, and while that bullet is traveling, you're getting out of there.
And the thing is, like, I don't know if I have the balls, even if I'm in imminent danger, to like ever shoot someone. And that's another thing to keep in mind.
Absolutely.
Right?
That's one thing you should know about, is if you draw a weapon, you should be able to use it, because if not, the consequences can be worse than they were going to be.
Yeah. Of course. And I understand the risks of having a gun and all that. I don't know. It's a hard situation for me, because it's hard for me to really to have people understand what it's like to feel genuinely threatened on a regular basis. And they're very specific threats. I mean, general death threats, whatever. I mean, I've dealt with that all the time. But the threats became more and more specific, sharing not only where I live, but where my family members live. You know, there were situations where there were people sharing exactly where I go running in the morning. This is back during the election. Mm-hmm. That fucking terrified me, you know? That kind of shit is terrifying. And so what do you do? How do you protect yourself? I don't have, you know, the money to have private security or to even, you know, buy necessary security for my own home. So how do I protect myself? It was just a scary situation. So that's where I'm coming from. It's not coming from a place of, you know, I'm buying these, you know, right wing talking points. It's just, you know, I get it. It's paranoia, it's fear. And I don't know how I'm supposed to react to it sometimes. I don't know how I'm supposed to protect myself sometimes.
So. I mean, you should get an assault rifle and just carry it with you. That's the thing, is like, there was a quote from Scalia where he said, he seemed to imply that he was open to gun control legislation. And he mentioned this thing, which I always think of when people say things like, I have this assault rifle to protect myself. It's like, but yeah, you'd have to have it with you. And that is terrifying. And there were old laws that Scalia mentioned in some interview where he's like, there's a law against just having a big, scary weapon that's meant to intimidate people. And I forget, it's like brandishing or flourishing. It's like an old-timey sounding word for people who would bring an axe through town for a reason that didn't involve like firewood. Mm. And I just, it's like, thank God I had this giant assault weapon. No, you have whatever, your handgun.
Have you ever been to an open carry state? It's scary. When you're walking, when you're like in Arizona or you're in Texas and people are just walking around with their guns.
I don't want to see your gun. I just don't want to see your gun. I mean, but I don't know what's scarier. I mean, open carry makes it visible and it makes people uncomfortable for good reason. Yeah. But then concealed carry is kind of scary too, because you have a bunch of people running around with guns and holsters, you know, concealed.
Yep.
But you never know what could set someone off. By the way, I mean, in traffic, cool as a fucking cucumber. And I wasn't like that before. And look, part of the reason is I matured and I grew up, and also being in traffic allows me to have some me time. So
I know, a little less put together in traffic.
Yeah,
you know, the one thing that keeps me calm when I'm driving in California is that I'm from Miami.
Uh-huh.
And people in Miami
are terrible drivers.
And they have fights. So you can be on US 1 and you're like, what's holding up the traffic? And there are two guys fist fighting, you know, because it gets very, they're very volatile. And so that made me paranoid, because people have actually lost their lives. So now I think twice, like I get angry and I'm like, it's not worth, I have to take myself to that place. It's not worth me losing my life, because it's a possibility.
Absolutely.
Now.
There was this one time recently where I was exiting the freeway and I wanted to make a right onto the street. And there was a car, it looked really far away, but I didn't realize that he was speeding. He was in a race car or whatever, a sports car, not race car. And so I thought, hey, you know, he's far away enough that I have time to make a right. And so as I start making a right, I realize, holy shit, he's going really fast. So I immediately stop. And then as he passed me, and then I turn, and he was pissed because I guess he thought I was gonna go and make him slow down a little bit. And so he goes nuts. Christian's in the car with me. I'm driving, obviously. He's in the passenger seat. This dude goes crazy and he starts like cussing us out and like whatever. And then Christian rolls down the window and I was like, do not stop.
Yeah.
Do not, do not, do not. Like, it's not even fucking worth it. I don't care. Let him yell, let him scream. I'm chilling, right? It's not the end of the world. Like, why am I going to respond to that? Like, he's having a bad day. He's dealing with some shit. Let him deal with it. But you never know who's armed. You never know who's angry enough or having enough of a bad day that they would actually take, you know, lethal action against you.
Yeah.
There was one time when I cut someone off and it was my fault. And it was the weirdest road rage ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because the guy, like, pulled around me, and I don't even remember it being exactly my fault, but he pulled around me and it was a guy that I recognized from my neighborhood. And he's eccentric, but like a decent dude. And he just goes, I feel like I hate you right now.
That's such a hipster road rage response.
It was in Venice, and the guy, like, he's like one of those guys that talk to you at a bar.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here just, I don't know. I'm repressed and drinking until I get, he was like, man, can you believe the Detroit Lions? And you just be like, no, I guess I can't. But this guy, I feel like I hate you right now. Out his window.
That's such a nice road rage response.
Yeah,
it's like, but it also feels like someone who's been through anger counseling, who's been told, say I feel. Say I think. Say I feel. And he did. He only learned that he needed to start with those words. He didn't learn anything about channeling his rage. He's like, I'm get out of jail free. I feel like I hate you right now.
I make I figured out a way to deal with it. I make psychological assessments of people in accordance to how they drive, and I'll share three with you.
Okay,
love it.
So people who won't let you in.
Oh, those are the worst.
They'll never let you in. Those are dark souls, and they'll never let you in. People who tailgate have abandonment issues. So that is why they're driving so close.
They're needy.
They need
love.
And people who switch lanes without signals, they don't use condoms. So
they have communication issues, right?
They're reckless people, so you gotta stay away from them.
Just gotta get in. Gotta get out. Gotta get in. Oh, that's so good.
Oh my
Just have
God,
to reconcile
awesome.
This. As a comedian, I have to figure out ways, because I'm a mom, so I'm always driving. And the only way to deal with this stuff is like, it has to be their fault. And I'm like, oh, they didn't hug her much. That's why she's almost in my fucking back seat right now, because this bitch needs a hug. She needs a hug.
What is it about being in a car that brings out the absolute worst in people?
Yes.
Because I mean, I think we can all admit that at times we have responded or reacted or said things to another driver that we would never say in any other context. Like, what is that? Is that actually representative of who we really are, but we suppress it because of like a social contract? Like, what is it?
The militancy of it can be explained, I think, because cars are just shitty tanks.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, it's an armored transport vehicle. There's just no guns. Yeah. All you have is like this embarrassingly, like if it's an American car, like, and if it's a Japanese car, it's like,
you wanna get it? You're so funny. I'll say this, and I just wanna say this from the bottom of my soul. You people who are always in a fucking hurry and will risk our lives to get where you're going. Leave earlier, bitch.
It's hard though.
Leave earlier.
Like, drive like that?
No, I don't. I don't drive like that. That's why I'm always late. And
why don't you just leave earlier, bitch?
Dude, but okay. I wake up insanely early every day. There's no reason why I don't leave earlier. But like, I think I have separation anxiety from my home.
Right.
And so it's so fucking hard for me to leave in the morning.
The estrogen.
I savor every moment. Like my mornings are my favorite because I get to spend time at home. I'm with my dog. It's like the hardest thing for me to convince myself to leave on time because I'm like, this is what I do and I shouldn't. But I kind of push the boundaries and the limits. I'm like, how mad will they be if this late?
But at least
not too mad. Not too mad.
Terribly selfish.
But you say
it's fucked up. It's really fucked up.
No, but she says she's late. The selfish people are the ones who will kill you on the road because they're late.
That's an extreme level of
selfishness. They're the ones that drive me crazy. Because you're like, you know why I'm chilling on the 405 knowing it's not gonna move? Because I left an hour early. So now the Asian lady sitting next to me in her Hyundai with her kids, their lives aren't at risk because I'm not anxious about, oh, I'm gonna be late. My call time is.
But why is she Asian?
Because I'm thinking about the lady I was next to the 405 earlier today, and she was in a Hyundai, and she was nice. She smiled at me. Listen, that's how bad it's gotten. That if someone in traffic smiles at me or gives me a gesture of humanity, I feel like a dog, and I just got patted on my head.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, she smiled at me. Like that's my friend.
By the way,
the weirdest thing happened. Someone was nice.
Yeah, I know. By the way, I had the same level of panic that you did when you mentioned Asian, because I'm like, oh my God, Ida, don't go there. Don't go. Because but you didn't go there. So good.
Oh, no.
It was just someone that you actually experienced today.
Oh no, she was next to me on the freeway, and we were like, we had that this exchange on the freeway, like everybody else is crazy, but not me.
Right. I like that. Because you are, you know, separated from them by metal and glass.
Yeah.
But I do think like, everyone has this acceptance that the other people will be mad at them because of it is this weird camaraderie of like, we're all miserable.
Yeah.
We're all LA drivers specifically.
Uh-huh.
Like we all have to do this so often in a place known for how bad the traffic is.
Yep.
So I think it's like, you know, you give people a little bit of a pass.
Yes.
Differently from if you were both at the mall.
Mm-hmm. I have playlists for traffic. I have my own traffic playlist now. I have a concert in the car. I dance better in the car than I do standing up. So I just have my own, like I know I'm gonna be on the freeway for an hour. I do the Google Maps, turn on the music, and I sing every song. And I ignore every. I know. I've been on somebody's Instagram. Like, look at this idiot lady dancing. I know they've gotten me, but I just that's my way of dealing, yo.
What songs do you listen to?
Well, I have a reggaeton playlist, which everybody in my life's like, that sounds like one long song.
Yes,
it does. Yeah, it does.
It's like one long song, but it's like. It's like Despacito for 27 minutes.
Which doesn't that just mean slow down?
Yeah, and it means Despacito. But I have, you know, I have an 80s playlist. Like I just entertain myself. I trick myself into having a good time in traffic because I don't want to get murdered.
Yeah. Anna, do you have a playlist that you listen to in the car? What do you listen to when you know it's going to be trafficking?
Lately, I listen to podcasts, and I will. So I think of it this way: I don't feel trapped in a car, but I'm essentially trapped in a car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can make that time useful by listening to something where I learn about an issue that I know I'm going to talk about, right? And I want to be more informed. So And I also, I've been listening, I don't have a playlist, but I listen to podcasts. I listen to a lot of conservatives that I disagree with. And you know who's really creepy? I think his name is Larry Wilco on Patriot Radio. Have you guys ever heard of that guy? He creeps me out. Like, it isn't even just because of his political views, which I usually disagree with, but it's like the way he talks. Like, he's yelling at, and I know that's like kind of hypocritical because I spent most of the show yelling today. But he yells 100% of the time. He's always angry.
I'm gonna look him up.
Oh, it's weird. And then he was talking about his workout regimen out of nowhere today. And I was like, he was like, yeah, I did heavy biceps and I'm 45 years old. And sometimes it's hard because I'm getting older. It's hard to find the energy, but I did heavy biceps and heavy back work today. And it's weird. It's like this weird, like machismo thing. And no one wants to hear about your heavy bicep workout today. But anyway,
I'm scared to listen to Patriot Radio because I feel like they're gonna drop the N-word. Like, for some reason, they're gonna say "big" or something. Like, I'm always, I say it's coming, it's coming. I hear the rage, it's coming, it's coming. For some reason, I can't listen to Patriot Radio. Not right now, because what patriotism has been showing, or this,
what it's been like skewed, yeah, to be defined, right, as, like, it's,
yeah, us implies of them. If we're patriots, they're not.
Yeah,
yeah. So I've been trying to stay away. I've been trying to find my happy place, because what we were talking about, has it always been this way?
Yeah, no, it's gotten worse for sure. But okay, so real quick, I just want to make sure I mention this because you guys have to listen to it, and the audience has to listen to it. It was so funny. So I listen to Rogan podcast time to time because he'll, you know, especially if he has a guest on that I've read about in the media that's been portrayed in a certain way that I might disagree with, and I'm like, all right, he's gonna interview this person for 3 hours, and I wanna know who this person really is, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes the media will latch onto one thing mm-hmm. and then they'll blow it out of proportion and they'll let that characterize an entire person's character, right? So anyway, but recently he had, what's that comedian's name? Female comedian.
Does what?
Comedy.
Hold on. Amy Schumer, I guess, is what we're supposed to say now.
Keep going.
Jen Colbert.
Hold on, I gotta look it up because you have to look up this specific episode because they played an R. Kelly song called Real Talk that I had never heard of. And they just, it is the most ridiculous song I've ever heard in my life. Okay, so Real Talk, the whole premise of the song is R. Kelly goes to the club. His girlfriend is not happy about it, so he's talking to her on the phone as they're arguing. But you only hear his side of the argument, and it is fucking insane.
Is it Ali Wong?
Mm-mm. Ali Wong's amazing, by the way.
Describe her. You're not gonna offend me.
I can't believe I'm forgetting her name.
Nikki Glaser?
No. Whitney Cummings.
Oh, Whitney Cummings.
Okay, so it was a recent episode with Whitney Cummings. Please listen to that specific part where they make fun of R. Kelly's song, because I haven't laughed that hard in such a long time.
Oh, I wanna listen.
And I feel like I got a good ab workout as I was sitting there in traffic.
Yeah. Really?
There's one part where R. Kelly was like, you said you were gonna throw out my clothes. Girl, I wish you would.
Dude, have you watched Trapped in the Closet?
No.
Oh, that was like.
the little so person? Great.
Yeah, 7 o'clock in the morning and the rays from the sun wakes me up.
He knows the beginning the
and the bed's like, I'm trying. It says like fidget. As soon as he says fidget, you're like, he's not gonna rhyme this with midget, is he?
All is lost, folks.
There's a midget under his like sink. And like.
And he says midget, so.
R. Kelly is a joke, and hearing them make fun of him was awesome. And so you get little gems like that from podcasts. So I prefer talk and podcasts over music.
There's a really good podcast about gentrification. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of it, but I listened to it. And it's a very, very interesting take on visiting different neighborhoods in America that have been gentrified and showing like all sides of the issue, which is really, you know, it's done from a very smart place.
Like Iwood? You mean to Iwood?
I think you're smart, but I think you're a smart ass too.
I thought when you said Iwood, it meant like I would.
Oh, no. They're in Insecure, they start calling Inglewood.
Iwood. Yeah. Iwood. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
No, sorry. Yeah.
I'm from Miami, so in Miami, the Puerto Rican neighborhood, which was Wynwood, is now the Arts District.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Got gentrified real quick.
Throwing Shade podcast. Everybody listen to it.
What is it?
Throwing Shade. Mm-hmm. Feminasty Aaron Gibson and Brian Safi. They're two comedians that I used to do a show with, and they're awesome. They got a show on Logo for a while. And it's just like gay issues and lady issues.
Oh, nice. I have a podcast. Mine is called Truth Serum.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
Yeah, mine is. Some people get really angry with me.
Well, really? That's
we have so much fun. There are no boundaries. You just go for what you know. Mm-hmm. Not like Patriot Radio, though. Not that kind of go for what you know. You gotta be able to do your pull-ups and your bicep.
Your heavy bicep workouts.
You can't talk about it on the show. But I do want to say that on October 23rd, I'm doing a hurricane relief show at the Laugh Factory for Mexico and Puerto Rico. I'm very big on the unification of brown people and Latinos, and I'm very tired of hearing us always have this division. Puerto Rican saying, oh, I'm not a Mexican, I'm a citizen, or Mexican saying, I'm not Puerto Rican, I'm not on welfare. It's gotten ridiculous. So in these moments of tragedy, I think we should use this as an opportunity to unify people, all people, not just brown people. So come on out to the Laugh Factory. Russell Peters is gonna be there. And Faison Love and a host of other great comedians.
The Hollywood
gotcha. Laugh Factory, 7:45, October 23rd.
Awesome.
All
right, guys. Thanks for doing the post game with me, thanks for watching. We'll see you soon.